This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, Boomer. How are your legs?
You know, I'm doing great, actually, G. It was, I was fully spent on Saturday. There's no question about it, going 69 and a half miles.
69 miles.
69.
In honor of Al Dukes, huh?
Right. You know what it was? I just basically miscalculated.
Really?
I did, but you never know when you get down into like Massapequa and Farmingdale, when you're driving down there and you make it a right turn or left, you're not sure where it's going to take you, and then that usually adds extra miles and all that other stuff. But, yeah, I started up in Woodbury. Went all the way down, through the Massapequa Preserve and Bethpage State Park. Great bike pass, by the way. I think Farmingdale's got to do a little something with their bike pass. Show a little pride.
Yeah?
A little rumble strip, you know, that kind of thing. But then you go all the way down to Sunrise Highway, cross over Sunray, get down to Merrick Road, which is like, being a fighter pilot in a dogfight. I mean, there are so many strip malls and so many cars and a lot of narrow roads and a lot of lights and a lot of right-hand turns, left-hand turns. You got to keep your head on the swivel. You get to Cedar Creek Park in Seaford, which is beautiful. And the great thing about that, there must have been 1,000 kids out there playing soccer with families and everything. Just great to actually go into that park and see normalcy.
Sure.
And it was great. And the kids and everybody was playing, and it looked like it was really well organized and all that other stuff. And then you get on the Wantagh Parkway, and you go down the bike path there, and it's a beautiful bike path.
You're actually on the parkway?
Well, no, you're on a bike path inside the, inside the media,
okay.
Inside on to the side of it, I should say.
Gotcha.
To the east side of the Wantagh Parkway, and it goes all the way down to Jones Beach Theater. And what they did a couple years back is they extended that from Jones Beach to Tobey Beach along Ocean Parkway. Now, it's the Ocean Parkway Greenway. And then they just opened another 7-mile stretch from Tobey all the way out to the Captree Boat Basin.
Okay.
Which is all the way out by Robert Moses.
So you were on the bike the whole time.
I was on the bike that whole time, yeah. And I didn't realize how far. I have a cycle meter on my phone, so I know where I'm going and what I'm doing. But I was just kind of like in the zone.
Sure.
So that was 34 and a half miles. I was like, wow, okay.
Now you got to go back.
So I stopped. I said, wow, this is 34 and a half miles. That's great. Okay, good. So now just go back and do it in reverse. The problem was in reverse, it was a 10-mile-an-hour wind in your face. And then the next thing you know, you're partly uphill. And then the last 2 miles of that trail that comes through the Bethpage State Park along Sunnyside Boulevard is uphill. And I mean uphill.
And you were dying at that point.
Yeah, my legs started to give out at that point. I had to lay down.
You did. You got off and laid down.
I had to lay down at that point. Now, at that point, I had already done like 68 and a half miles. So I was already done, but I had to get back to my truck.
Sure, yeah. So, just think about walking?
No, there's no way. So I'm laying there on the side of the trail, people coming by. You're right. And I'm like, they have no idea who I am, which is great. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. And then I finally got the energy back up and then got up on the bike and got up that hill, that final hill there. And then it was 69 and a half miles. I have to tell you, it was extreme. For me, it's extreme. For a lot of the other bikers out there that do this every single day and probably 50 to 60 miles every weekend, it's no problem. But 60 miles would have been fine.
69 and a half uphill in the wind at the end.
Right. But I just kept thinking about Jerry Cahill, Gunner, and Mikey Davis, and then all the other CF people. I just kept thinking about it. I cannot stop. So I had to finish it. And then when you're done with something like that, it takes you a couple 3 hours to kind of get your feet back underneath you.
Sure.
And you know what was the best part of all of it was I did the sauna blanket
afterwards.
Yeah, and it was like great. And
did you climb right in there when you got home?
No, nah, you know, it took me a few hours. Like it took me a few hours to kind of just get everything back to normal. But man, I'm telling you, it was fulfilling. It took me about 6 hours, two hours and 30 minutes back, and about 3 hours and 20 minutes the other way.
Oh my goodness!
Down and then back. Yeah,
but 69 and a half.
But I have to tell you, you know. There's a couple of hills on the way back, especially when you go through the Bethpage State Park there. You go right next to the golf course,
sure.
Right next to the soccer fields. They may probably polo up there. I'm not sure. But there's that final hill that is the entrance to that park, and that hill's a bitch.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not like you're riding in the mountains in Switzerland. You know what I mean? It's not that bad. But when you're doing it like this, and it's a little bit – but you know what? It's fulfilling when you're done.
Yeah, I texted you about 5 or 5.30. I said, yes. Are you drunk yet? Because I figured that would be the first thing that you do is you go back and just start having a couple pops, and that was the end of that.
All I did is I drank a ton of water.
Yeah.
And I did a couple of emergency little packets.
Sure, yeah. I love those
potassium in them and everything.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to have any cramps that night.
Oh, of course
not. But that sauna blanket basically was great.
Took it all out of you.
Whatever, it just made me feel better. It made me relax.
Right. And today, you're walking fine.
I have absolutely no issues anywhere.
No soreness at all.
No soreness, nothing. But, you know, but again, you know, I had been doing 10 to 20 miles, sure. Depending here and there, over the last 16 or 17 days. So I probably did that about 10 times. So I was ready for this. And the 34 miles all the way out to the Captree Boat Basin, by the way, was not a problem.
Sure.
I didn't stop anywhere.
Yeah.
Went straight out there. I got to tell you, there are some maniac bikers. Man.
Of course there are.
I mean, there are some. I mean, great bikers, high end bikers.
You just see them flying by you,
and most of them, obviously go in a Peloton pack.
Sure,
you know, and they're flying. And I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do like the North and the South Service Road of the LIE. I would never do that.
Ugh.
But they do that. They're into all that kind of stuff. I try to stay on the path where I could because, man, that Merrick Road down there in Seaford, it is the land of strip malls. It is the land of people parking in the shoulder.
Sure, yeah.
So you're going past cars that are in the shoulder, and you got cars right next to you going about 50 miles an hour.
They don't care. Yeah.
They don't really care.
Nope.
And then somebody whipping a right-hand turn, another guy trying to make a left-hand turn to get in front of you before you come, and all you're praying to God is that they see you.
Ugh.
So I don't like riding on roads like that.
Because if you go down, man, at your size like that, that's the last thing you want.
Oh, God. It would have been amazing, but... I saw the best of Long Island, though, I have to tell you, because that whole bike path, starting in the North Shore, I consider Woodbury the North Shore. It is north of the LIE,
sure.
By the way. And then coming down through Nassau and then ending up in Suffolk. That's what a Long Island kid should do, right?
Perfect.
You got to touch all the bases. And going down and seeing that Cedar Creek Park, which was beautiful, and it was populated. People were playing. It was great to see that. The bike path is awesome. You go out onto the Jones Beach Ocean Parkway. That is awesome. See, now, this is tax money well spent, by the way.
Oh, okay. Fine. I've never heard you say that.
This is how, I said it about the West Side Highway.
Okay.
When Mayor Bloomberg took over.
Yep.
And he said, I'm going to plant 1 million trees. And everybody laughed at him. But this is how it's supposed to be done. And there was a lot of walkers out there. I must have seen 1,000 different dogs. And then you go through that Massapequa Preserve. It's beautiful down there.
Well, you did it. Congratulations.
Yeah, I feel good.
You made it even harder than it needed to be.
It's
because that's what you do.
I couldn't figure out how to map it all out and all that other crap. Some people are great with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not like, Christopher Columbus. Like, I'm going to.
Just going to go.
I'm going to go and I'm going to run into something and figure out what it is,
sure.
When I get there.
Right.
I'm not going to be like Magellan laying these things out. You
and,
know what I'm saying?
And you added 9.5 miles.
I try. I just figured that. Hey, good for you. This would do it and this would make the ride about 60 miles and instead it made it about 70 miles.
All right. Well, congratulations. Great stuff. I know that this was something that was a big deal for a lot of people, and you got it done, and you went above and beyond. Above and beyond.
The Mikey Davis, man.
You're probably never going to ride more than that in your life, right? That's probably going to be the max.
I don't see me doing it. You know, I don't know. You never know. I mean, I'm going to keep up with it, of course.
Sure.
But I don't think I'm going to be doing that kind of crazy.
Yeah, you're not going to pass 70 miles on a bike anytime soon.
No, there's some bikers out there probably listening. Ah, that's nothing. Let me just tell you something. It was something.
Right.
It was extreme.
Why did people do that? I remember when we were talking about the 40 miles that we did that day. Where we met in Quag, yeah, and then went back. And then, you know, that's only the second time I'd ever done something like that. And it was a year from the last time that we did it in the city. And you got all these bikers. Oh, don't hurt yourself. You know, I do 40 miles in my sleep. Like, yeah, good for you.
Well,
that's great.
They do.
Good for you.
All right.
Yeah, I know. I understand that you do, but like, I don't. So whatever.
I'll say that if you've never done it, there's nothing like it. Really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great story for you. No one cares.
For you.
Thanks, Al. And then of course I get done. So, you know, I'm not, because it was my birthday, I was getting a lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
So when you get phone calls, the phone calls stop your Bluetooth to your speaker because I like to ride with some music.
Of course.
Got one of those JBL speakers. I put it like in one of my little water bottle racks, and it's perfect.
Yeah, Eye of the Tiger on repeat.
Well, whatever.
For six hours.
No, you know, I have my playlist, so sure. I'm playing it, and every call that comes in, the music stops.
Did you answer any of them?
Of course not, because, you know, I'm just trying to stay in the zone.
Right.
So then when I got done, I had like 144 messages, and I took a picture, and I sent it to Al on Twitter. I said, man, you better be one of these messages. No, he wasn't.
Oh, he wasn't.
He wasn't, but wow, he had such a great reason why he wasn't. Care to tell the reason?
I said I wanted to be the last one so I'd be at the top of the list when he went to the text messages.
That's great.
Right.
Smart.
But see, this is what I do. I try not to look at the top of the list, because I want to be respectful to the people who were the first to send me.
Oh, you scroll down.
So I try to scroll, you know, all the way down.
All the way down.
To the bottom, and then I try to answer in that order. You know what I mean? I try to do it that way.
You definitely skip some people, though.
Yeah, but then, like last night, I started getting a lot of text messages in last night.
Really?
For the same reason that Al is saying. And I had no idea. Like, I never thought about being last means you're first on the list.
You got to be either first or last.
Yeah, but like, so when he finally sent his, it was after I put that out on Twitter. So then I don't feel like it's genuine. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you feel like you.
But he had a really good answer as to why he did what he did. So I was like, all right, since you did it that way, I get it. I can't argue with that.
Did you answer all the text messages?
I did. Every single one.
Every single one.
Every single one. Every single one.
You didn't say, this guy's not that important. Scroll right by. Go to the next guy.
Every single one. My buddy Steve Thumb sent me one. He goes, welcome to the fourth quarter in the 60-plus club, because obviously he belongs there. And I said, look, I'm not interested in the fourth quarter. I'm only interested in the two-minute warning, man. Just let me know when that hits. Because the fourth quarter doesn't feel like the fourth quarter. I don't feel like it's the fourth quarter today.
Hmm.
You know, I thought I was going to feel that way, but I actually feel great today.
Yeah, I mean, there's no difference from 59 to 60, really, with you. If anything, I mean, you're in a healthier spot because you just were able to accomplish what you accomplished. Yeah, you can't think like that. Like, I'm in the final quarter of my life.
I mean,
that's such a depressing thought.
I'm just telling you what he said.
Well, it's obviously in your head, you know? I mean,
yeah, but then
clearly.
And then I just came back to him. I said, just let me know when the two-minute warning arrives. That's all I want to know.
Don't do that either.
It was great. And then yesterday we had the reveal for the secret celebrity renovation.
Oh, that's right.
At Sal Champy's house.
You got to be exhausted, man.
And that reveal was unbelievable. So 12 days.
He had a beautiful day to do it.
Right, so the 12 days to redo two rooms in his house, one being his basement and the other being his family room, that, you know, he and Donna haven't done anything really to for years and years and years, because they've never asked for anything. They never spend any money on themselves. They always are taking care of their grandchildren and their family and everything else. So this was a great thing. This was unbelievable. And, you know, it was just to be a part of that whole thing, and then to have that whole come to fruition. I can't wait for people to see the TV show.
Did you cry?
I had a tear in my eye, yes. I did, without question.
Is it visible? Did the camera catch it?
I have no idea if they were on me or not.
Did Sal Champy cry?
He had glassy eyes.
He had glassy eyes, but he did not cry.
Right, and then he was talking about how he beat Bellport or something like that.
He launched into that, of course.
No, he was definitely moved by the whole thing. Had a couple of my ex-teammates come in.
Okay.
And surprise them.
The little short guys with bad haircuts.
And you know who you're talking about. So I had Mike, Chris, and Jimmy in there, and they surprised them, and it was great. I actually had those guys curate all the pictures that we actually did hang.
Okay. And it came out amazing, I'm sure.
It's more than amazing.
In 12 days.
In 12 freaking days, Jason Cameron and his crew and a couple local people that they bring in just did an amazing job.
Yeah, I need one of these TV shows because the first day that you did that was the day that I closed on the house. I still don't have blinds. And they've got two new beautiful rooms.
We got blinds. We got shades. We got new furniture.
That's what you need.
Floors redone. We got new.
To get something done these days, you need to do it on a TV show.
New wainscoting. And then Sabrina, the designer, did something in the basement that I had never seen before. They were explaining it to me.
Starting
the project. No. And she did slatted walls.
Slatted walls.
So there were two slatted walls that created a gym for Sal.
Oh, okay.
And the gym is awesome. He works out. He still works out every day. He's probably working out right now. Wakes up at 4 o'clock every day and still works out.
What a maniac. What a maniac.
Yes.
It's incredible.
And this is after having a heart procedure.
Right. Well, good for him. He's trying to stay healthy.
Son called me after his heart procedure. He says, you got to tell my dad not to lift weights until his surgery heals. I'm not going to tell him. So he'll listen to you. He doesn't listen to us.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Did you tell him? And did he listen?
I did tell him. I think he did listen for about a week.
And then that was it.
Right back down there again.
Right back down there lifting weights. Well, that's a tremendous weekend. Congratulations on all that.
Yes.
Can't wait to see that episode coming up in July, I believe, is what you told us.
I think so, yeah.
All right. Very good. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
What's going on, Jerry? Good morning.
Well, good morning. You want some good with the Yankees before we actually do the mess from Sunday?
Sure.
Would you like to hear, I'm sure, Boomer, you were biking 4,000 miles. Do you want to hear the Rougned Odor home run call?
Yes, I would love to hear this.
This is from Saturday's game.
Yeah.
They lost as they were swept. So before we get to Sunday, here was Saturday.
The 2-0. Swung on, hit in the air to right. It is high, it is far, it is gone. It's the first home run for Rougned Odor as a Yankee. You are odorific.
Mm.
So Odor trots around the bases with his first Yankee home run. Je t'adore, Odor. And the Yankees now trail 5-2.
Like it or spike it.
I thought that
Like it or spike it. You know what, Jerry? I think I'm spiking it.
I'm spiking it.
I'm spiking it hard.
Very, very disappointing.
Yeah.
Not his best.
Odorific? Odorific.
It absolutely, unabashedly sucks. All right.
Well, that's perfect. It's a good transition into the way the Yankees are playing right now.
And what was that translation of the French thing that he said?
I don't know.
Anybody have any idea?
I don't even know what the Stanton one is. No sto parlo. Oh,
non si può sto parlo. I think it's you can't stop him or something.
Oh, no. People
is.
Are stopping him routinely.
Right. Yes. April usually stops him. Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Now, he did hit a home run yesterday early, a line drive to right, but that was pretty much it for the Yankees, who once again lose to the Rays.
Wendelaw first, the 1-1, swung on and lined to right center field. There is a base hit in the gap, going all the way to the bullpen wall. Wendell will easily score. Tsutsugo to second with a double. A ribby double for Tsutsugo. And Tampa takes a 3-2 lead.
You turn out the lights.
Right. I know that that's baseball and that's baseball, Susan, that whole thing. But, man, the Yankees should be embarrassed. I mean, they are being owned by the one of the least spending teams in Major League Baseball. And if there isn't a bigger disparity within a division than these two teams in terms of money spent for production, they're getting housed.
Sure.
By the Rays.
Five out of six this year, and then got knocked out of the playoffs last year by them. So
swept at home this weekend.
It really, I mean,
that
is about as low as it gets. So now the question is, what do the Yankees do? How do they get out of this funk? And, you know, the first thing that's going to happen is Jay Bruce is going to retire. That's good for him, and he's doing the right thing because they were going to get rid of him. So he's doing the right thing. You know, this I don't know what the second thing is that they're – and even yesterday, Gerrit Cole took a lot of this on himself, and that's what aces do, and that's what pros do, and that's what guys who are, you know, true competitors do. Man, but there is just so much inconsistency up and down the lineup. And Aaron Hicks, I don't know what's going on with Aaron
Hicks.
It's
a struggle.
Right. But I don't know what I don't know if it's the off-the-field social justice stuff that he is really kind of lost into right now, because whatever's happened to him, you remember he took the game off last week.
Yeah, I know, and he came back. He had three hits his first game back, but then has been lost ever since.
You can't explain it. You really cannot explain it. And he's too good of a ball player. He's too good of a fielder to have what happened to him yesterday. And that kind of like symbolizes the problem. Here's a guy that you're counting on, that you gave a long-term contract to, that you believe is going to be one of your linchpin foundational players, and he has just absolutely been brutal. I mean, brutal. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, they lost 4-2. The Rays sweep the series. They're 8-8. The Yankees are 5-10, their worst start since 1997. Here was manager Aaron Boone. The offense has done literally next to nothing. I think it was 11 hits for the series, not in one game, for the series. Any advice to his struggling lineup?
You got to have a good at bat. And when they do that, when we do that, good things absolutely follow.
Right. They had only three hits yesterday.
Torres, Stanton, and Hicks are all under 200. Hicks is at 160. Stanton is 170. I mean, look, and I know Stanton historically gets off to bad starts, but man, oh man, this is like.
They've all gotten off to bad starts.
It's hard to watch. The fielding miscues.
Yeah.
Strikeouts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you think Yankees have an opportunity, two strikes on Judge, two strikes on Stanton, two strikes on Torres. They're striking out every time.
It's unbelievable on how many bad balls they actually swing at and how many strikes they actually look at.
Yep.
And fans throwing balls on the field Friday night.
Yeah,
I know. It's a bad scene.
Where did everybody get those baseballs from? Was it a giveaway or something? Like, who just has that many baseballs to chuck?
Well, people said they came from batting practice.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's nice. Go to batting practice.
And then hawk the balls on the field.
Come on, guys.
Here was Gerrit Cole. So when will things change?
I don't have the magic wand. I don't know when it's going to turn. Right now when you're kind of going through it, you just got to keep grinding.
So a much-needed day off for this team today as they will take on the Braves starting tomorrow. But, yes, 5-10, five straight losses, last place in the American League East. Now, you mentioned the Jay Bruce thing. I know they had a nice video of him, a nice message from Joey Votto. I think it was Votto.
It was, yeah.
It was just gushing over him.
Yeah, it was a little much.
Jay Bruce. It was a little.
It was like it's not Nelson Mandela we're talking about here. I mean, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, it was nice. So
did they say is Mike Ford coming up? What's going on?
We'll find out. Aaron Boone says changes could be coming.
I'll tell you what, and I know he's not ready. I'm going to go back down that road again. You know what road I'm going down?
I don't.
Come on, you guys got to know. I think G may know.
He's laughing, so I'm thinking he does.
Is it the trade deadline road?
No, not the trade deadline road. There is a guy in the Yankees organization that he's not ready to play yet, but he'll be ready maybe, who knows, maybe in a couple weeks. And he has been a spark plug before.
Oh, God, Andujar again.
Yes.
Oh, please.
That guy will
spark plug? It's been a couple years he's been a spark plug.
I know. Well, he's been injured and all this other crap, and I can't find a position for him and everything. But you know what? You got to start making people feel uncomfortable. You know, I guess that's what you have to do, and I know it's a long 162-game baseball season.
It is, but you know what, Boomer? Like Clint Frazier, for instance, I don't think he's got an RBI yet.
Yeah, and that was the whole thing. Don't bring back Gardner because we got Frazier. Remember that? And now Gardner's playing more of a prominent role because those guys in the outfield have been horrific.
I mean,
especially center field and left field.
This is like the age-old thing, though, in baseball when teams get off to bad starts. It's like, at what point do you actually take it seriously? I mean,
getting swept at home by the Tampa Bay Rays.
You got the second worst record in all of baseball.
But I think we all agree that they'll figure it out. But right now, it looks terrible.
It does. It looks listless and lifeless, and it just doesn't look like anybody. Those savages that we heard about in the batter's box that have such a great eye and battle every time they're in that line, in the batter's box, that's just not happening.
So while they're 5-10, the Mets are now 7-4. Brilliant pitching on Sunday in Colorado as they close it out.
Story with a big lead at first. He has good speed. The pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Blackman takes a strike. Story's running. Throw to second. And it's in time. Mets win. Trevor
How about
Story
that?
Caught stealing to end the game.
That's not MetLife.
James McCann firing down to Lindor, who popped the tag down on a diving Story.
Yeah, Wayne Randazzo, the final out. WCBS 880.
The music in that highlight was just absolutely perfect because he was so animated. And then Lindor sitting there pounding his chest and fist bumping. That was a great end of the game, man.
Mets win 2-1. Marcus Stroman now 3-0, an ERA of .89. 8 innings, 3-hit ball, just 1 run. Had the very cool play behind his back. Lousy throw, but they got the guy at first base. I think it was whoever it was, I remember. Edwin Diaz.
For Stroman now, you have 20 innings pitched. 2 earned runs given up, and 10 hits.
What a 1-2 punch you got with those two guys.
So he's giving you six innings. And yesterday, lo and behold, the starting pitcher go 8 innings.
I know.
In incredible. Colorado.
And, right. by the way.
Only 90 pitches.
I'm going to say it again, and you know, you guys can yell at me and scream at me. But Edwin Diaz did his job two games in a row. Now, he has not given up. I don't think he's given up 3 runs, and that was that first game against Miami. And since that time, he hasn't given up anything.
I think you're right about that, but yes, he got a ton yesterday.
And was it the DeGrom game Saturday? He was outstanding.
He was outstanding there too. And how about DeGrom, man?
I know he almost broke the record or tied the record, Tom Seaver's consecutive strikeout record. Which I mean, I was pulling for. That would have been pretty cool. It really would have been very cool.
But listen, watching him fan 9 in a row is unbelievable. Yeah, that guy is ridiculous.
I mean, he's throwing 100 miles an hour in Colorado. You know, the temperatures are what they are. It warmed up on Saturday. Just mowing people down.
But it still wasn't easy.
You're right. Exactly. It wasn't easy. Yeah, and obviously, they had to come back and win the game for him. But, I mean, it's just insane. And then he gets pushed back all those days. He was supposed to pitch Thursday. It's supposed to pitch Friday. Then it's Saturday. I mean, the guy's just he's incredible.
He's a machine.
All right, so who's the bigger surprise for you as a Met right now? Is it Edwin Diaz or is it Marcus Stroman?
Well, but the Stroman thing is weird because Stroman was really good when he came here and just didn't pitch to that level when he was here. I don't think him doing this is a...
I don't think either one is a surprise. We know the upside with both of
these
guys.
Right, we've seen the upside.
We haven't seen it as much.
The problem with Diaz was better last year. His first year here was just an unmitigated disaster.
It was bad.
It may have been one of the worst closing performances in the history of the league.
Sure.
And we watched it in our uniform, but now all of a sudden that fastball's moving. It's coming in at 97, 98 miles an hour. That's great.
I'm still not ready to say that he's back, though. That's the thing.
See, I am.
You are already?
I am, just because he got better last year. Like, he's gotten better since he's been here.
He still scares the hell out of me. I'm sorry.
I don't know if he keeps throwing it the way he's throwing it.
I know, course, he's been good, but I've still seen more bad than good.
I don't know. The Stroman thing is weird for me because he was good in Toronto, and he really didn't want to come to the Mets. He wanted to go to the Yankees.
Yeah.
But then he came to the Mets. He embraced the Mets when he first got here. Then, you know, he opted out last year. He's got his $18.9 million this year, and now he's pitching like a guy that's looking for a big contract.
From a big owner with deep pockets.
That's exactly right. So right now, he is the clear, entrenched number two starter.
Yeah.
And he deserves to be. So if he pitches like this, God willing, you know, he's going to get himself probably a $250 million contract.
He keeps going like this, for
hell
sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Jerry, quickly, Joe in Syosset joins us. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, good morning, Boomer and Gio. How you guys doing?
What's up, Joe?
Hey, Booms, real quick, congratulations on that ride as
Thank
a
you.
Cyclist. Congrats.
Thanks.
Gio, I wanted to tell you, I was listening to the radio broadcast Saturday night, and Wayne Randazzo was going on about how on this day, 1960-something, whatever, Shea Stadium opened up, and he goes, oh, contrary to whatever Gio says, I was not doing the broadcast.
Oh, look at that. Good job, Wayne Randazzo. I had not
hey,
heard
Joe,
that.
Hey, Joe, do you remember what inning that was?
Unfortunately, I don't, and I forget it. I think it was the second game. I'm not sure.
Okay.
All right. Very
see if
good,
we can
Joe.
Find it. Yeah,
that'd be great if we could. Look at Wayne Randazzo with a sense of humor. Good
just
for him.
An entire game.
Either somebody's right. snitching on you.
Two games, know. Jerry, because we're not clear on which one.
Might have been the second game.
Two full games.
It was definitely Saturday.
Two full games. I mean, but here's the thing. Somebody's probably snitching on us, you know, that we do this.
Yeah, but
or he hears it. I don't know.
But snitching, it's funny. It's like it's good.
And in a good way.
I know, and he's embracing it, which is really good.
Sure, right. Instead of getting
finally
angry.
Finally, somebody around here gets it.
Yeah, right. Wants to have a laugh.
Right.
All of that stuff.
Braves beat the Cubs last night 13-4. Braves play the Yankees starting tomorrow. Ronald Acuña Jr. did leave the game last night with an abdominal strain. On a related note, the Nets have signed him to a future contract. Indians doubled the Reds 6-3. Shane Bieber, 13 strikeouts. He's got 48 in his first four starts of the season. And today's game between the Twins and A's postponed for COVID-19 contact tracing within the Twins organization. All right, let's get to your Knicks. They were down three late. 8 seconds to go. So all the Pelicans had to do was not allow them to shoot a three. They didn't do that.
Here's Rose driving into the corner. Bullock for three. Ties the game at 103. Reggie Bullock with a corner three from in front of the Pelicans bench.
And the Pelicans never were going to give the foul.
That was Kenny and Clyde on MSG, and then it was all Knicks in the overtime. They beat New Orleans 122-112. Julius Randle, another big game, 33 points, but more than that, he had 10 assists and 5 steals in this game. R.J. Barrett at 18, Bullock that game tire, and Derrick Rose is outstanding off the bench as well. Here was Stan Van Gundy, fair to say, not pleased with Lonzo Ball for coming off his man. Yeah, on that play.
We addressed it after the game. We don't need to have it one-on-one. Everybody in the building knows what happened. It wasn't just him. We screwed up that entire play. It wasn't just him. There were two mistakes on that play. They know what they are. We deserve to lose. When you do that, you deserve to lose.
Now, he went on to say, I got to find it.
I got to tell you, though, players hate that crap.
Well, players are going to hate a lot more when I play next hour. When
they
I go
hate
find
that
it.
Crap, and you know this is why you gotta always play the game with the media.
I believe he said, Boomer, he could find high school players.
He did
say
execute
that play
better.
He's either going to get fired, or you know, Ball's going to want to leave, and
well, he already does.
Zion's going to want to leave. They're all going to want to get away from
him. He does too. So two guys want to join the Knicks last night. One, Lonzo Ball, helped the Knicks win the game, and then Zion Williamson after the game basically said he's going to sign with the Knicks.
Chance.
I mean, Zion Williamson stopped like this short of saying that he's going to sign with the Knicks when he gets an opportunity to after the game.
Get away from Stan Van Gundy.
I mean, well, yeah, not so much that. Did you hear it?
I didn't.
Oh, my God.
I have to go get it.
And watch the video, too. Someone asked him about the Garden and playing in New York, and his face lights up as if he was like just became a father for the first time.
You know why?
He's like, wow. You know, he goes, I'm glad you asked me that question. That's how he opened it up.
That's great.
And he goes, this place is unbelievable. The energy of it. He goes, you know, other than New Orleans, this is my favorite place to play. But other than New Orleans, of course.
Well, maybe tides are turning for the Knicks. Look at this. Leon Rose Where's Steve Stout when you need him? I'm, you know, Worldwide West. Let's get him here.
You got to hear him. I'm telling you, hey, when you hear Zion, you're going to say, this guy's going to be a Knick. He wants to be a New York Knick.
So a couple things about the Knicks. So we've been going through their schedule throughout the year.
They got a five-game homestand coming
up. Now
they
got the five-game homestand. They got a couple teams in front of them that they're going to play, a couple teams on their heels.
Hornets and Hawks. Well, the Hornets aren't
ahead of them anymore.
They
also have the Heat coming in. They got Chicago coming in. I mean, if they can continue this, man, that win in Dallas on Friday was awesome.
Yeah.
That was great. And the other thing, too, I'm reading, and I know you guys are going to laugh at me about this. I don't know. Maybe you won't because you're a Knicks fan. Maybe Jerry will because, you know, all of his all-stars are all going to be all NBA players no matter how many games they play. I mean, Julius Randle's played 56 to 57 games.
Leads the league in minutes.
He has played his ass off. And if that guy isn't an all-NBA player, first-team all-NBA player, I don't know who is.
I don't know he's making top five in the NBA.
See, I know that's the problem. See, the thing is there's reputations. There's LeBron, who's not playing. There's Kevin Durant, who's not playing. There's James Harden, who's not playing. Giannis is playing. Jokic is playing. What's his name? Jokic.
Radek Dvorak.
No, he's playing. No, but yeah. I'm serious. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And this guy is playing his ass off every freaking game. You may have an off game here or there, but can you count on one hand the amount of off games he's had in 56 freaking games?
No, he's been phenomenal.
He's been awesome.
He needs to be like.
I don't want to touch the money.
He's
really going to
be an all NBA guy. He's just not
probably
going to be
like a third team guy.
Which is a huge accomplishment.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
He should be given. Again, I don't want to touch the money. I don't. You know, we kind of sarcastically say MVP, MVP, and I know he's not a leading scorer. I know he's like the 25th leading scorer, but the amount of minutes he plays and what he's done.
But Boomer, every good team can say this about their best player.
What happens if the Knicks get to the fourth spot in the playoffs?
They'll be fourth.
Yeah. Then they'll play the five seed.
Yeah, I understand that. But it's all because this guy is taking over this franchise. And basically
he's a big part of it, no doubt. I'm also going to give your coach. I think your coach is coach of the year.
LeBron's going to be all NBA. Giannis is all NBA. You know, Kawhi Leonard's all NBA. All these guys got all these great reputations.
Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Joel Embiid.
They're not playing half of them.
No, a lot of guys are. I mean, Chris Paul, what he's done out there with Phoenix. So, I'm great for Julius Randle. I want him to get all the individual accolades he can get. But really, I'm all about the Knicks having a playoff series. I want him to get either four or five so they have a chance to actually win that series and then get into the second round. That's what it's about. You know, it's not about what team all-NBA Julius Randle ends up.
How about a 4-5 series with the Celtics?
That would be great.
That'd be fun.
That would be a blast. Like old times, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really old times.
Nets lost to the Heat 109-107. Bam Adebayo, the game winner at the buzzer. Hey, look, Kevin Durant left the game with a bruised thigh.
He
might miss the next month. Who knows? I'm kidding. I have no idea.
He's got a contusion.
Brooklyn, yeah, I know. Brooklyn plays in New Orleans.
You ever had a contusion?
Tomorrow, a contusion. Just quickly, because we're running out of time here, Rangers completed the sweep of the Devils. They won 5-3. Mika Zibanejad, snaps the 3-3 tie with the power play goal.
How about me and Pavel Buchnevich having the same birthday and him scoring a hat trick on his birthday?
Birthday to him.
Yeah, happy birthday to me, too.
Yes, you too. Absolutely.
I told you we needed to take 8 points from the Devils, and we did.
Yes, and you made up no ground on the Bruins, who continue to win.
The Bruins are only getting better right now, the Rangers are.
Beat the Capitals 6-3, and the Islanders shut out the Flyers in overtime 1-0. The one goal from Nick Leddy. Also of note, the Canucks beat the Maple Leafs 3-2 in overtime. Why would I say that? Because Vancouver hasn't played since March 24th. So that was their first game in about, three and a half weeks or so. So they are back.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
All these comments about shaking things up with the Yankees and, you know, the columns this morning about Aaron Boone has to be the guy to get this thing on track. I mean, when you're the Yankees, you have these big names. You've got so much invested in this group. And you get to this point where the season has started and you're struggling in the way that you are. There's not a ton that you can do. What are you going to do to send a message? You going to cut John Carlos? You going to release him? You going to send him down to the minors? You going to tell Aaron Judge he's got to sit down? You going to bench Gleyber Torres? What are you going to do? I mean, there's not a ton, thank you. There's not a ton you could do. So it's so funny to me the way that this works.
Thank you, Alan.
Is every time a baseball team gets off to a slow start in a 162-game season, the same stuff is said, which is, like, well, the manager's really got to get these guys going. All right, so he has a closed-door meeting or whatever on Friday, Aaron Boone. They go out, they lose on Saturday. They go out with their ace on the mound, they lose on Sunday. I mean, what are you supposed to do to shake things up? I mean, if it keeps going in this direction and Brian Cashman has to shake things up by changing the whole philosophy of the team, but we're not at that point yet. So,
well, see, this is what I'm saying. Who put the team together?
Brian Cashman.
Right. Who is not performing? The players that Brian Cashman put together.
Yeah.
And now it's the manager's, you know, mess that he has to clean up, according to many. Now, it's obvious that Aaron Hicks is really struggling for whatever reason. And I don't know what the reasons are. I don't know if anybody's asked him directly why he's struggling. But it's one thing if you're struggling at bat, which a lot of guys do from time to time during the season. It's another thing when you're struggling at bat and struggling in the field. You know, now there's a bigger problem. And your center fielder, you know, yesterday just was not, whatever, for whatever reason, was not in the game. So maybe he needs to have a break. You know, they have a day off today. Maybe he needs a couple days off. I don't know. Only Aaron Boone will know how to handle each of these players. This is one of the reasons why he was brought here. Like, I'm not advocating at all against Aaron Boone at this point. You know, you got to give him 60 to 70 games, and you got to let this thing kind of play itself out and try to get this team going again. And we can look at individual players, and you can say, this guy's not doing his job, this guy's not doing his job. And
well, that's what it's about.
Right,
yeah.
But it's all obvious.
Yeah.
So now he doesn't have a, you know, infinite number of players to choose from. He's got 26 players.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to figure it out. And, you know, the pitching's got to be better. You know, Herman's going to come back now. He's got to be better. And they can't just rely on one starting pitcher and your bullpen. You got to have other guys that could actually go out there and, you know, go six or seven innings. So, I mean, there's a million problems with this team right now. The biggest one, I think, is strikeouts, lack of clutch hitting. You know, and then, of course, now you have, you know, issues at shortstop, issues in center field, issues at catcher when it comes to defense and things of that nature. And that's why the Yankees find themselves where they are. So I guess really the question that we should be asking is, what can Aaron Boone do and how can he change this?
Well, I mean, there's not going to be anything, and this is the point that I'm bringing up. This is the roster. These are the guys. There's not going to be some sort of spark plug that's out there Boone's going to make the decision to bring in. He's not in control of that stuff.
So the one thing that Brian Cashman did realize is that Jay Bruce was fading. And it was just kind of a Band-Aid type of situation for Luke Voit. So he was fading. It was eventually they were going to release him. They allowed him to retire. That was great. And you knew that was coming simply because they went out and got Odor, put him at second base, and then put LeMahieu at first base. And then the more Aaron Boone was talking about first base, the more he was talking about DJ LeMahieu. So, that kind of signaled the end for Jay Bruce. All right, so he's gone. So now, what? Is it Mike Ford coming here? You know, is Luke Voit far from coming back?
But these are all things that Brian Cashman and that department is going to decide collaboratively. You know, we need to stop going back to, and not us specifically, but, you know, people who are watching and paying attention to baseball, going back to that age old, well, the manager has to do something. What is the manager really in control of in today's baseball?
It's got nothing.
In-game bullpen decisions, which already are mapped out. Well, this guy here and the splits here and everything else, but he still has to make a decision here or there. And then dealing with the media. That's it. So when he's in a situation where he's got to answer about Aaron Hicks sitting out a game and he has to talk to the media, and that he's got to make sure that he does that in a way that is palatable to many. That's it.
Let's forget about the Astros cheating scandal for a second. Was A.J. Hinch considered a very good manager?
He was.
Right. And the reason he was because he wasn't controversial in any way. And you obviously could see that he wasn't controlling his dugout because they're doing that, you know, banging on the garbage can and all this other stuff to steal as they were stealing the signs. You know, a real true manager, you know, I don't think Joe Girardi would have ever let that happen. I don't think Buck Showalter would have ever let that happen. You know, I kind of think I see Aaron Boone like in the same way that I see A.J. Hinch, like really good baseball people. Really good collaborators with the front office, believes in analytics,
calm demeanor in a very crazy market.
If the analytics department says, hey, let's try this week against, you know, the Cleveland Indians, he'll do it. He's not going to fight it. You know, Joe Girardi would fight it, and he'd be hard on Gary Sanchez, which is, I think, what we all want. We want our managers and our coaches and, you know, those types of guys to be hard on people, to make people uncomfortable. But it's really hard to do that in a 162-game season where the players are getting guaranteed money no matter what. It's really hard. So that's why you have to have a personality like an Aaron Boone to get you through this, I think.
Yeah, but the manager isn't the same job that it used to be. It's just not.
No, I agree. 100%.
You know, and that's why, you know, it's up to these individuals. It's up to the general manager in the offseason to put the right roster together, and it's up to those guys to perform. And if they're not, then the manager's going to get crushed. And if they are, the manager's going to look like a genius. I mean, you know, the Yankees won 100 games in the first couple Aaron Boone seasons as manager. You know, how much was that Aaron Boone? How much could anybody who had some baseball experience get them to 100 wins?
I guess it was a 19 season, I think it was, where everybody got injured and you had all these fill-ins,
sure,
the Talkmans of the world, the Andujars of the world. Maybe that was 18. But, and you had, you know, Gardner. This was the team that was winning all those games, and they were doing it in spectacular fashion. And the pitchers were doing their jobs, and the relief pitchers were doing their job, and they got them to the playoffs with all the injuries. Remember that? Stanton was out forever.
Yep,
Judge was out. You had Luke Voit coming in. You know, that was the lefty first baseman always was getting hurt.
Greg Bird.
You know, he was supposed to be the next coming of Don Mattingly or Tino Martinez, and he wasn't. And then Voit shows up, and they trade for him, and he starts hitting bombs.
That was 2019.
I think it was
Urshela, right? And Talkman,
yeah,
and
it was,
all that.
It was great.
Yep.
So, I mean, don't you give Aaron Boone credit for that, or do you give that credit to Brian Cashman?
Well, I mean, I think that
he had a wheel and deal during that season to make things happen.
Sure. I mean, I think a little bit of both, but it's mostly the guy who brings in those players. That's mostly what it is.
He also had the backup catcher that had so many key plays.
Romine,
you know, yeah. Austin Romine.
Yeah.
So many
Romine
key
behind
plays,
that bye.
So many key hits and just, you know, solid defensive guy. I mean, that was a team that you could root for.
Sure. I know. Well, that was the whole point.
It was also DJ LeMahieu's first year, I believe.
It was. No, that's what we talked about the whole time. These replacement Yankees had made the Yankees fun again. You know, and then here we are again with this, like, can't hit, striking out.
It's the same.
Can't get a big hit. The starting pitching's disappointing. It's just and then, you know, the Rays have not been good. I think the Rays are like 3-7 against the rest of baseball and 5-1 against the Yankees. And they're owned by this team in their division. You come off a year in which they get bounced in the playoffs by Tampa, and it's regular season, short regular season, where they got crushed by them, to come right back and lose 5 out of 6 in April to the Tampa Bay Rays.
Get swept at home?
Yeah, swept at home like this. And then you think Gerrit Cole on the mound Sunday, only stopped the bleeding. Yeah, not
I,
so much.
I just, the thing about it is that there's just too many good baseball players in this team that eventually it's going to turn. Eventually, they're going to go on like this, I think, a murderer's row hot streak.
But then it turns into what, though?
I know, but we're in April right now.
Yeah.
And I know it looks bad. And the way this whole thing has been choppy, and it's just, it doesn't feel right. There's no way the Red Sox, who are in first place with a 10-6 record, are going to be there at the end of the year. There's no way.
All right.
No way.
But it's not just about winning the division and making it to the playoffs with the Yankees.
We're 15 games in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, think about how many more games that are left. What, 147, right?
I understand.
So I certainly don't want to overreact, but I also don't want to sweep under the rug the failings of a number of players that aren't living up to their contracts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.